Good morning, everyone. Those who don't know me, I'm Ingram. I have the pleasure and the blessing to lead our youth every Wednesday night. Promise you, we do have a good time. I'm sure they probably talk about the crazy guy that leads them on a Wednesday night when they go home. Because I remember for a toilet paper snowball fight, I'm pretty sure I smacked some kids in the face with toilet paper because I'm like, you need Jesus. I'm kidding. Our kids are awesome. They actually make movement enjoyable, fun, and exciting for me. And that's all due to you parents. So thank you for raising some awesome children, for the most part. But, oh, man. Everyone's like, did he just say he hit kids with face and toilet paper? Yes, that happened, a movement. So before I start, I told them, I was planning on talking about youth group. You know, that's what I do, so I'm going to talk about movement. And I'm starting the message, and halfway through, God's like, nope, we're going to switch it around. So he totally did a 180 on me, so I'm going to talk about something different. So before we get into it, let's pray. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for allowing me to speak again, and I pray that whatever you have for us to hear, that we take it to heart, apply it to our lives, and become better for you. In your name, amen. So I tend to title my message, especially in movement. So I have a title for my message. It's called When God Builds a House. And I picked it because that song has been playing over and over and over on the radio. And I'm like, okay, God, I get it. That's what you want to talk about. So we're going to talk about when God builds a house. So we're going to go straight to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 26. Because I believe the Bible says everything you need to know. So I'm going to read this verse and then we're going to talk about stuff. So 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them well, be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And yet it did not fall, for its foundation had been built on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Now, the key word in that verse for me was built. We have to build our foundation in Christ, right? The whole series we're talking about established, building a lasting faith. We have to build our foundation. The key word is built. See, I think a lot of us tend to walk around kind of like we're just the blueprint. We know God's real, we have faith in him, we believe in Jesus, but we just hold the blueprint. We never actually build that foundation. A blueprint is not going to save you when the storm comes. The blueprint is not going to help you when calamity comes your way. It's going to knock you down because you're not building that foundation. We need to stand on the foundation. So while I was praying the message, God took me all over. He took me from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So I'm going to take you on a journey, the same journey he took me on. So we're going to go straight to the Old Testament to start things out. So Psalm 37, 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I've heard that verse many times in my life. I grew up in the church, and I've heard that verse so many times. And it took me a while to realize what it meant. But for me, I thought, oh, God's going to give me the desires of my heart. Whatever I want, he's going to grant it to me. He's like a genie in the bottle. So I'm going to make a list. And I'm like, God, I want these things. You said you're going to give me the desires of my heart. And he was like, you missed it completely. That is not what that verse says. He says, this keeps falling off my ears. Hold on. I keep telling you, Pastor Brett's head is so much smaller than mine. Okay. He says, delight yourself in the Lord. And that part right there, in the Lord. God is saying, put everything you have in the Lord. Put your job in the Lord. Put your family in the Lord. Put your school in the Lord. Put your hopes in the Lord. Put your plans and your dreams in the Lord. And then he'll give your heart what it should desire. That is what he wants you to do. And the key part is in the Lord. We need to build our foundation in him. Put everything we have in him. So what is this foundation that we talk about? I was like, okay, God, I get it. Build a foundation on you. Like, where are we going with this? So he took me all the way to the New Testament. And I'm reading all this stuff. I'm like, God, this is kind of confusing. If I'm confused, these people are going to be confused too. But I promise you, it'll come together in the end. So he went straight to 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Now, the key word in this one for me is sin. Sin is not plural in this verse. It's singular. Jesus became sin. It really means that Jesus took all the sin of everyone who ever believed in him and put it on himself and hung on the cross. Hanging on that cross as the blameless, spotless, harmless, perfect lamb, but yet he took all our sins and hung on the cross. It was really like God treated Christ like he lived my life and let him pay the payment that I deserve, and then turns around and treats me like I lived Christ's life. That is what that verse is saying. If I have faith in Christ, he makes me right with God. So when God sees me, he doesn't see my sin. He sees his son. Because I put my faith on the one who died for me. His blood covers me. And when God sees me, he sees Christ. But when God looks at the cross, he sees your sin. And that right there is our foundation. That is what we build on. That is everything this entire faith is built on. That Christ makes us right with God. That when God looks at me, he doesn't see all the wrong things that I have done. And still do, because we're not perfect people. But what he sees is his precious son, because his son died for me. That is the foundation. It's called the divine substitution. Christ took my place and died for my sins. And then when God comes and sees me, he sees Christ in me and not my sins. Now, I said all that, and I'm reading all this, like, yes, I'm going to build my foundation on this. But I can tell you right now, as much as I believe all that I said to you, as much as I want to tell it to the kids all the time, this is what you should be believing in and this is what you should be doing, as much as I believe that, there are times in this life that I doubt. And not that I doubt that God is real. I know he's real. I know Christ died for me. I don't doubt that. But there are times that I sit here and I'm like, God, I'm doubting the plan that you have for me. Is this really how this is supposed to go? Because there's certain things I thought would have happened in my life, never happened, and things that should have happened, the wrong thing happened in that place. Is this really the plan that you have? Because I'm doubting you sometimes in this. And I'm sure some of you can be honest and be saying, you know what? I have doubted God. Because it probably have been years with you, years of sorrow, years of heartache, years of being still and not growing, being stagnant, years of just waiting. It could have been years to the point that you start doubting God. But thank God, it's funny, I was thinking about it earlier and I was getting emotional because it was just like, thank God, even if I should doubt him, his faithfulness is greater than my doubts. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And I was just standing back then and just listening to the song that Robbie said about his faithfulness, and it just hit me, and I was like, wow, God, I'm 37 years old, and I lived, grew up in the church, and I've made big mistakes in college, and big mistakes recently, but you say you're still faithful to me. I have doubted you openly, but you still say you're faithful to me. And I'm like, how is that possible? Well, it goes back to Corinthians. If Jesus died for my sins and I put my faith in him, and when God looks at me, he doesn't see me, but sees his son, and the Holy Spirit lives in me. So if God doesn't deny himself, he's not going to deny me, and he's not going to not be faithful to me, because he sees his son through me. That is the foundation we build on. That is the foundation that we do everything we do on. That's the reason why we come to church. The reason why we have a youth group. The reason why you serve in kids ministry every Sunday. It's the reason why you live the life that you're living, because you believe that God is faithful. I build my lasting faith on that. The only simple truth of the gospel, a faithful God sent his son to die for those who are faithless. That alone is enough to build a foundation on. But as much as that is good, life sometimes can bring storms. I want to share a painting with you. It's called Peace in the Middle of the Storm. Some of you may have seen this, may have not. But when I look at this painting, nothing in this is peaceful, at least not to me. I'm like, I don't see anything peaceful in this painting. I see a raging waterfall hitting rocks and a lightning storm in the back. Like, how is that peaceful at all? There's nothing peaceful. But if you look closely to it, there's a bird nesting on the rock. And he's not freaking out. He's not flapping his wings. He's asleep, resting on that rock in the middle of a storm and the raging waterfall. Because he knows he's on a firm foundation. If we build our life on the firm foundation, those storms can come. And that's pretty powerful. I'm sure that water is eroding that rock above him. But he's on the firm foundation. The storms will come. But if we stand firm on Christ, we can be like that bird at peace, no matter what comes. When I see this painting, it reminds me of Matthew chapter 14, that favorite passage, Peter walking on the water. And when I read that, now, I've heard that so many times in Sunday school and in youth group and many different messages about it, but I never really paid attention to realize Christ never called Peter first. Peter made the request first, and then Christ answered. Peter was the one who said, if that is you, Lord, call me onto the water to you. And then Christ said, come. Peter made a request, and Christ answered his request. And while Peter is walking on the water, that supernatural moment in the Bible, a mortal man walking in the middle of the ocean, in the midst of a raging storm, able to walk on the water because his eyes was focused on Christ. His faith was on that firm foundation that if I stay focused on you, Lord, nothing will happen to me. But the moment he looked and saw the storm and the fear came in, that is the moment he began to sink. If you and I stay focused on Christ, if you and I continue to build that foundation, continue to build on that truth of the gospel, as loud as those storms will be, and the storms will come, we will not sink. You know, the person that did this painting, he wrote a kind of like a description at the bottom of it when you look at it, really. It's not on here, but when you go somewhere to see it, there's always this description on it. It says, when you look at this painting, I don't know about you, but nothing in it is peaceful. But if you look closely, you see a tiny dove resting quietly in her nest, despite the crashing waterfall and the thundering storm around her. See, we are not promised a life without storms. Evil is always present. In this world, represented by the beastly image of the water. But the cross of Christ covers it all and is victorious. You can face the storms with confidence. We can find a hiding place as we trust in the one who has power over the storms. We can confidently say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. He is our strong rock and refuge. Only in Christ, who triumphed over death, leaving an empty tomb and offering life beyond death, can we have peace in the midst of the storm. Now, my title of the message was, God Builds a House. When God builds a house. And just like the song says, when God builds a house, nothing can tear it down. No devil, no demon, no man or woman, no government, no powers in heaven or in hell, not even your sin can tear down what God has built. We have to choose to live in that house. There's a reason why it says house. You live in the house. The reason why it says foundation, you stand on the foundation. There's a reason why it says those things, because God wants you to be there because he knows what this life can bring you. He experienced it. And he says, if you don't want to sink, you don't want to be caught up and swept away with the flood, stand with me and stand on me. Let me build that house so you can live in it. But you have to choose and you have to do your part to build. Build your faith on the foundation that I lay out for you. So my question to you, Are you building your foundation? Or are you walking around with just the blueprint? Just coming to church because you're coming to church, just listening to the worship songs because they sound nice, just doing the things that you think is a Christian thing to do, but are you actually building your foundation? Are you laying it brick by brick by brick? Kind of like I tell the movement students all the time, how often do you read the Bible? When you pray, do you ask God for things or do you pray, God, what do you want me to do? Maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, all this sounds great, Ingram. Sounds awesome, building a foundation. But you don't know my life. You don't know the stuff I've been through, the heartache I deal with, the sorrow I've done, the pain that I have caused. You don't know my life. How could I even stand or start to build that foundation? I go back to Corinthians. That Jesus died for your sins. And if you have faith in him, God doesn't see your failures, but he sees his son when he looks at you. I want to tell you, and I was saying it in the first service, and I was saying it out loud, and I was telling it to myself, that God really loves you. God loves you. I remember walking back out there, and I said, God loves you, Ingram. Like, you're saying to these people, well, do you actually believe that? Like, God loves you. I tell it to the kids all the time. I think every night since I've started a movement, I've said, God loved you every single night. It's like a revolving door. God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. Because sometimes we need to remember that. God truly loves you. But not only does he love you, he wants you and he accepts you. It's a powerful thing to be accepted by someone. The first message we did a movement on Wednesday, we're starting a new series, Only the Brave, and it's called The Fear of Acceptance. But to know that the God of the universe accepts you, that is a foundation you want to walk with. That's the confidence you want to walk with, knowing who I belong to, who loves me, who cares for me, who has a plan for me, and even if I should doubt him, he's still faithful to me. Walk in that confidence, live in that foundation, live on that faith, because I guarantee you the enemy doesn't want you to believe that. If he can just make you not believe that God loves you, he's happy. Because you live your life doing the things thinking, God doesn't love me, so why would I even want to build a foundation on him? Don't listen to the lies. For all the students in here, I'll tell you again, don't listen to the lies that the world will tell you. God wants you and he loves you. And he tells you, build your foundation on me. Because the world will want to sweep you away. As much as possible, the world is after you. The devil is after your soul because he doesn't want you to experience that revival that's happening right now. But God says, delight yourself in me. Put everything in me. Build your foundation on the gospel that I am faithful to you. And if you live your life that way, you will walk on water in the midst of the storm. You will be like that bird nesting asleep with all that's going on around him because he is peaceful knowing he's on a firm foundation. So again, I ask you, are you building your foundation? Are you building that lasting faith that we talk about? There's a reason why the background is a building being built. You need to build brick by brick by brick. So I want to pray with you, but while I'm praying, I want you to think to yourself, am I living with just the blueprint? Or am I actually putting down a foundation? And if you know you are living with just a blueprint, my first challenge for you today, put down a brick. Start building something. Building that foundation for God. Building that foundation over your family, over your children, over your job, over your school. You want to have that revival that's happening in the colleges miles away? It can happen in your life, but you have to build that foundation first. You have to live in the house that God has built to experience him. And then I want to ask some of you here probably thinking, I hear all this and I want to live that, but I don't have faith in Christ. today's the day to do it. Now, there's a song by one of my favorite bands, Switchfoot. It's called Dare to Move. And it says, forgiveness is right where you fell. Salvation is right here. That is a powerful thing to know, that God forgives you. That he sent his son to die for you. God loves you. Think of how much God loves his son, but yet he sends his son to die for you. That tells you how much God loves you. That is a powerful thing. For me, it's a powerful thing. And you might be thinking, Ingram, you don't know what I have done. I can tell you for a fact, if I can be redeemed, so can you. The fact that I can stand here and share this message, the fact that I can come every Wednesday night and talk to the kids in movement, like I am the one that God called me to do that, knowing who I am and the things that I've done and the temptations and the weaknesses that I have, if God can still use me, he can use you. But you have to choose to build that foundation. You have to choose to believe in what we read and what we talk about. You have to choose to live that life. The choice is yours. So let's pray. God, I thank you for this message. I thank you for speaking through me. I know you've changed it on me and you've had something else to say, but what you've had me to say was actually for me as well. To know that you truly love us. That if we build our life on you, we will not fall. And God, I pray for everyone here. I pray for those who need to give them their lives to you. That Jesus, you speak to them. You reveal to them that you are better than anything else in this world. Because no one has given us the freedom like you have. No one can redeem us like you can. No one can use us and give us a purpose like you can. There's no one better than our God. I pray that you speak to them, that you reveal that you are real to them. And God, for those of us who are walking around with just the blueprint and we actually never really start building our foundation in you, that you challenge us today to start building. To build our lives upon your love. Build our lives upon the truth of the gospel that you are faithful to us and you will never deny us. Christian, I want you to know that God loves you. I want you to know that God is for you. And God wants you. He doesn't need us, but he wants us. He wants us so much that he sent his son to die for us. God loves you. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving me. Help us to remember that. No matter what comes in this life, the one truth that we can hold on to is that you love us. And I pray right now, whatever attack or storm that anyone is going through, that you can show them if they build their foundation on you, that they can stand in the midst of the storm. That they can have peace in the midst of the storm. That if they keep their eyes focused on you, they will not fear what's going around them. Because you are in control. And you are stronger than anything in this world. Greater is he that lives in us than he that's in this world. Thank you for what you're doing. Holy Spirit, thank you for moving and thank you for revealing to us that we need to build on you. And I pray that you help us to have that revival right here in Kairos, that movement in our homes, that we experience the revival that you have started, that God, we can have you move in our lives, that the fire of you can fall on us, that we can be truly who you called us to be. I thank you so much for what you're doing. There's nothing else to say but just thank you. Thank you that we can live our lives on the strong foundation that is you. That no matter what comes, your foundation will last. In your holy, precious name, the name above all names, Jesus. Amen.